Well, all right, today we start a new message series called Thrive. And if you have an outline this morning, you'll see that definition of thrive. It means to grow or to develop vigorously, to progress toward or realize a goal despite circumstances, to flourish. As Christians, that's us. We're called to grow. We're called to grow in our faith with the goal of becoming more like Jesus. But if you're like me, sometimes we struggle in that process. We struggle to grow in our faith and relationship with Jesus. Sometimes we don't feel like we're progressing very much in our personal journey of faith. If we're honest with each other, most times it feels like we're doing everything we can just to survive in our faith. Right? Instead of thriving, we feel like we're trying to just survive. Thriving in our relationship with Jesus sometimes seems like a concept that's reserved for special people like Billy Graham or Rick Warren. But thriving in your faith is possible. It is possible if we're willing to invest in shaping our life around being a disciple of Jesus. Proverbs 11:28 in the Message version says it this way: a God-shaped life thrives like a flourishing tree. So in this message series called Thrive, what we're going to do is we're going to learn five essential habits, five habits that we need to live a God-shaped life that flourishes. Now, to live a God-shaped life is to pursue God in a way that allows Him to shape you into what He wants you to be. To pursue God in a way that allows Him to transform us and our lifestyle. To pursue God as a Christian is to be a disciple. There is no difference between Christian and disciple. They are the same thing. We can't be a Christian and not be a disciple. Once we give our lives to Christ and consider ourselves to be Christian, we are called to be disciples of Jesus. Now, if you think about it, disciple really isn't a normal word that we use in our culture today. So let's start by looking at what a disciple is. Jesus began His ministry on earth by calling 12 ordinary men to follow Him and to be His disciples. We see that story in the Gospels in many places, but today we're going to look at Matthew's version in Matthew 4, verses 18 through 22, reading from the New International Version. This is what it says. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, His brother. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once, they left their nets and followed Him. Going on from there, He saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Him. Jesus said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. When we look at that simple verse, I think there's three key elements of what Jesus is calling us to be as disciples, as followers. The three parts include following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and being committed to the mission of Jesus. So if we look at the definition of what a disciple is, we get a person who is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and is committed to the mission of Jesus. That's what a disciple is. Therefore, that's what it means to be a Christian. Someone who has faith in Jesus is a disciple who follows Him, is being changed by Him, and committed to His mission. Now notice that the central aspect of that definition revolves around the person of Jesus Christ. It revolves around Jesus because He is the the gospel. He is the good news that provides us abundant life here on this earth and eternal life in heaven. So at the heart of what it means to be a Christian, at the very center of what it means to be a disciple, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. We must focus on following Him. If we want to be changed by Him, we must first follow Him so that we can be transformed and then motivated to invest in His mission. I think Jesus said it best in John 15, verse 4. This is the Amplified version. It says, Jesus said, "Dwell in me and I will dwell in you. Live in me and I will live in you." And just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in or being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Jesus not only says, follow me, he says, dwell in me or abide in me. We can't bear fruit unless our life revolves around being connected to Jesus as our constant source of life. Jesus says, if you want to thrive, if you want to thrive in life, and if you want to thrive in your relationship with Christ, if you want to thrive as a Christian, stay connected to me. Abide in me. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. If you want a God-shaped life that thrives and flourishes, Jesus is the source. He loudly proclaimed to us, he said this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. I am the bread of life. I am the light of life. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. I am. I am. I am is our source. If we want to thrive in life, if we want to thrive in our faith journey, we must remain connected forever with Jesus, the I Am. So our goal as Christians and disciples must be to know Jesus personally, to have a real, vital relationship with Jesus, to treasure a relationship with Him, to obey and implement His directions for our life, to honor and to worship Him with all of our lifestyle. Paul said it this way to the Colossians. He said, "See that you keep on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth that you were taught. See to it that you thrive in your connection to Christ." So I want to challenge you this morning to be a disciple who follows Jesus like that. And let me share two ways that you can be a disciple that thrives with Jesus. First, if you're following along on your outline, a disciple of Jesus follows Him with their head. A disciple is one who knows and follows Jesus as Lord. The words "follow me" are an invitation from Jesus to watch Him, to listen to Him, to learn that He is the Savior and the Lord. I think one of the biggest roadblocks that we have to thriving as a disciple of Jesus is that we believe knowing about Jesus is just as good or good enough to save us. That knowing about Jesus is all we really need to have eternal life. In his book, Divine Conspiracy, Dallas Willard says that many people have bought into what he calls barcode faith. Barcodes are on everything that we purchase. And the store scanner only responds to the barcode sticker on the product. It doesn't matter what that sticker is on. It doesn't matter what is in that product. Whatever that barcode is, if it's scanned, it produces a cost. It says what it is. Many Christians today think and feel that as long as they have that Jesus barcode sticker, they're good. And that someday when life is over or when Jesus comes back, all they have to do is stand in line and allow God to scan the little sticker on them and they're in. But it doesn't work that way. As long as you've said the right prayer, done the right church things, as long as you've shown that you believe in the concept of Jesus and what He did, you get the barcode and you get in. But it doesn't work that way. And there's so much more to being a Christian than believing in a concept or doing the right things to get in. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. He's a real person and He wants to have a real, authentic, intimate, and personal relationship with you. A relationship with Jesus is not just an add-on bonus, right? It's not something that we add on to our faith just in case. In John 15, Jesus says, "Abide with me. Have a relationship with me and you will thrive." He goes on to say that if you're disconnected from me, you'll be broken and cut off. You won't receive life. We will not follow Jesus the way He wants us to follow Him unless we first invest in knowing Him in a personal way. Eternal life is in a relationship with Christ. We must have a relationship with Him in order to receive life. So here's the question. The big question that I often receive from people. You talk about having a personal relationship. But here's the hard thing, Pastor Doug. I can't see Jesus. I can't touch Him. I can't audibly hear His voice. It's so hard for me to have faith and to have a personal relationship with someone that I can't even see. I can't touch. Let me challenge you with that. The Bible says that God clearly reveals Himself, His existence, and His power through creation. The Bible says we can know that God is real, that He exists by just looking at the power, the beauty, and the glory of all of creation. And then the Bible shares that Jesus came here. He revealed Himself by coming to this earth. The disciples clearly proclaimed that Jesus was God in the flesh. And John, one of the fishermen whom Jesus called to be His disciple, eventually declared in 1 John 1, "We have seen Him. We've seen Him with our own eyes. We have touched Him. We've heard His voice audibly. And we're here today to tell you for sure that He is who He says He is. He's alive. And He wants to have a relationship with you." Jesus is also revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus reigns on His throne in heaven and lives in us through His Holy Spirit. God reveals Himself to us through the Holy Spirit, through His Word, through the Bible, through prayer, and even through some events in our life or through other people who are in our life. I know it seems hard to think about investing in a relationship with someone that we can't see or touch or hear audibly. But think about it from this perspective. How far out of the realm of possibility is it for the one who spoke creation into being with a word? God spoke, and all of creation came into being. How hard is it for God who did that to speak into your life, to make Himself known to you? How hard would it be for Jesus who left heaven and came to earth in order to relate with us and die for us? How hard would it be for Him to reveal Himself as a real person through the Holy Spirit to us? How hard would it be for a person who raised Himself from dead to reveal and relate with you? How hard would it be for someone who walked out of a tomb and appeared to hundreds of people? How hard would it be for Him to reveal Himself to you? See, here's part of the problem. Part of the problem is we rely on our sinful, broken selves to try to relate with Jesus. When Jesus just said, "Hey, you know what? Come and follow me. Take the step of faith. Come and see. Come, taste and see that I am who I am." And I think if we just take that first step of faith and seek God, that He will speak to us, He will talk to us, He will relate with us in a personal, relational way. You see, the reason that a relationship with Jesus is so vitally important is because in all relationships, trust is essential. You can't have a real close, good, healthy relationship without trust. And we can't really place our faith and trust in Jesus unless we're willing to relate with Him in a personal way. The disciple follows Jesus out of a genuine trust and acknowledges Him for all who He is and what He stands for. We will not follow unless we trust. See, the concept of being a disciple is rooted in Jesus and His gospel, but it also flows out of what it truly means to be saved by grace through faith. You see, faith is a living thing. It's an ongoing dynamic. It's a responsive interaction between a Christian disciple and Jesus. The invitation to follow Jesus begins with knowing and relating with Him at the head level, to understand His authority and to be able to apply His truth in our lives because of that knowledge. The following means that we recognize and accept that Jesus is not just our Savior, but He's our Lord. He is our CEO. He is the one who is in ultimate authority of our whole life. And we ought to give ourselves and submit to Him and His authority. So to thrive as a disciple, we must know Jesus in such a way that we allow Him to be our CEO over every aspect of our lives. Another way to thrive as a disciple, to follow Jesus with your heart. A disciple of Jesus is willing to follow Him with their heart. See, belief in Jesus involves way more than intellectual agreement. Belief in Jesus is reflected in a life that produces fruit. Here's a very hard thing to think about. If we're called to bear fruit or be fruitful as Christians, then we must look around and see if there is fruit in our lives. And if there is not any fruit in our lives, if our lives are not fruitful for Jesus, it's foolish to think that we are even following Jesus in the first place. We must follow Jesus with the intention of being healthy enough to bear fruit. A disciple is someone who has their heart transformed by Jesus. He says, "Follow me, come and see who I am and know who I am, and then I will make you, I will make you into a disciple." So you don't have to have your whole life together before you commit to Jesus. You don't have to have everything together before you make the commitment to being a disciple. Jesus says, hey, take that first step of faith no matter where you're at. And as you follow me, I will make you into a disciple. I will transform your heart. And the more we follow Jesus and the more time we spend with Jesus, the more that our hearts become like His hearts. And the more our hearts become like His hearts, the more that we will begin doing the things that Jesus does. Jesus is the one who molds our hearts. A disciple of Jesus is changed by Jesus to the very depth of their heart. And when that happens, what we want to do out of our love for Jesus who died for us, we will begin to have a passion to get rid of the old sinful habits and begin to be transformed in Christ, to put on some new habits and do some new and healthy things that God calls us to do. He begins to transform our character, our thoughts, our actions. He unmakes us and remakes us into His image. Discipleship at the heart level involves transformation at the very deepest level of our understanding, our affection, and our will by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God and in relationship with God and His people. You see, Jesus is a teacher who doesn't just inform our intellect, but He forms our hearts. He isn't content to simply deposit these ideas into our mind. He's after a relationship with you where you allow Him to transform your heart and your desires. His teaching shouldn't just calm us down. It shouldn't be just cool, collected spaces in our head. Times of reflection and contemplation. He invades our hearts and provides us a passion that is like His passion. See, this is the essence of faith. The Bible describes faith as one that is full and life-changing. The nature of faith is to transform your heart by applying the truth of Jesus found in His Word. So what does that mean? It means that the ultimate act of relationship with Jesus comes down to this word, repentance. Repentance. Because if we know God's truth and our lives are to be centered around God's truth, that means that when we don't do and follow God's truth, we sin. And we sin on a regular basis. And so because of that sin, God calls us to repent. So in following Jesus, we keep in step with Jesus. We're following Jesus. Since we're broken and sinful people, we have a tendency to wander. We wander off the path. We lose sight of Jesus and where He's at. Repentance allows the Spirit to bring us back onto the path, to ask forgiveness of our sins, and God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and bring us back on the path of following Jesus. So repentance is something that has to happen on a regular basis throughout our day. Oh Lord, I know that what I just did was wrong. I'm sorry. I want to get back on the path of following You. See, Jesus and His Word teaches us that we are saved by God's grace through faith. But the old Reformed theology says this: we are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves us is never alone. Let me say that again. We are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves us is never alone. That's a fancy way of saying that true faith always includes trust and submission. We trust and follow Jesus by being obedient to Him with our lives, and that happens through our head and our heart. In trusting and submitting ourselves to Jesus, we allow Him to help us get rid of those old selfish habits and replace them with new and healthy habits. It's aligning all of our thoughts and actions with His truth out of our love for Him. So if you really want to thrive as a Christian, if you really want to thrive as a disciple who follows Jesus with your whole heart, then submit to His truth. Live a life of repentance and following Jesus. So let me finish by illustrating to you what that looks like to have faith. What it looks like to be willing as a disciple who trusts and follows Jesus with your head and with your heart. About 150 years ago, there was a guy named Charles Blondin. He was one of the greatest tightrope walkers in the world. And one of his greatest achievements was walking a tightrope across Niagara Falls. 11,000 feet across. 160 feet in the air. And he would walk across the tightrope many times while people watched. He got so used to doing that, he thought, add a few things to it, make it a little bit more difficult. So he did it on stilts. And then he did it blindfolded. And then one time he even stopped halfway, made an omelet, and lowered it down to the maid of the mist below and served someone breakfast. True story. One time, as a crowd gathered, he said to them, "Who thinks that I can walk this wheelbarrow across the tightrope?" And the crowd went crazy. "Yeah, you can do it. You can do it. We know you can do it. You're awesome. You're amazing. We've seen all the great things you could do. Go for it." And then he said, "Okay, but I need a volunteer. Who's willing to sit in the wheelbarrow?" And the crowd went silent, just like you did. Who wants to sit in the wheelbarrow? Finally, someone raised their hand. A guy named Harry. Harry said, "I'll do it." And Harry got into the wheelbarrow, and Charles, step by step, wheeled the wheelbarrow all the way across Niagara Falls with Harry inside the wheelbarrow. And the crowd went crazy. The crowd went crazy. Everyone applauded Charles Blondin. There was only one person. There was only one person that really, really trusted. That really trusted him. And that was Harry. Jesus never said, "Admire me from a distance." Jesus never said, "Hey, stay there and watch me." He said, "Follow me. Whoever wants to be my disciple, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." You see, faith is an action. Faith is a living thing. It's an ongoing dynamic that is consistent in relational interaction with Jesus as His disciples. That's what faith does. Faith trusts enough to follow. It trusts enough to submit ourselves to Jesus by getting in the wheelbarrow and letting Him walk you through life. So I ask you this morning, are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you a real, authentic follower? Are you willing to get into the wheelbarrow? Do you really trust Jesus enough to get in? Are you all in as a believer, as a disciple of Jesus? Or are you just part of the crowd? I'm convinced that when we make Jesus the very central focus of our life and take Him up on the offer to follow Him and help Him make us into fishers of men, when we allow Him to do that, we will discover that there is far more pleasure to be experienced in Him, an indescribably greater power to be realized in Him, and a much higher purpose to be accomplished for Him than anything else in the world. You were created to thrive. You were created to grow and to flourish with a great purpose. And the only way to truly do that is in and through a relationship with Jesus Christ. As believers, we're disciples of Jesus. He is the source that allows us to thrive in our life and in our faith. It is in Him that we live and move and have our being. So my challenge to you this morning is to follow Him with your whole life and thrive. Let's pray together. Lord, we are broken and we lose sight of You and we wander off the track. It's hard to follow You. Because of our sinful nature, we wander off into areas that we shouldn't be. So today we come and say we're sorry. We repent and return to that path, and we want to follow You. We want to follow You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we trust You. We trust You enough to get into the wheelbarrow and allow You to guide and direct us in our life. And at times, Lord, when we get afraid, in times when we want to get out, we want to turn back, we trust that Your Spirit would empower us and redirect us. Because we know that You love us. Help us to live for You, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.